Thursday night. You're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio. I'm Chip Gibson, the tree hugger, and man, oh man, it's already filling up in this place. We got a pirate in the house, Mitchell Dorsey. How's it going? And Charlie Polachek from the guys from Jacksonville. My goodness. Jax is in the house tonight. My friend's down there. So Hammerhead's in from New Hampshire. The landing crew, Russ, the Salt Warrior. Scuba Stan is up there. And the Yak Sushi Man. Yak Sushi. He's the only guy that has that understands my plight of the macrocranial problem. So big-headedness. Bigheadhats.com. I think I'm going to have to get one for Christmas. Okay, I'm Buzzards Row. It's the landing crew. How are you, sir?
What's going on, man?
Not much, man. Landy Crew is out of Virginia Beach and the host of our Wednesday night show. Maybe you caught him last night. And also, my main man, a bad backcast, Rob DeVore from Tampa. How's it going?
Good. How are you, man?
Hey, I'm good.
I think we can get the Jacksonville guys to come down to Chokoloskee there in February.
I know that the Yak Sushi posted the link there. If you're looking for information on the President's Day boondoggle for 2012, we're kicking it off right in February, the 17th through the 20th are the core days. Just check out kayakfishingradio.com/boondoggle or yakangler.com/boondoggle, and you'll get the info on what's going on. So we're going to be down in Chokoloskee, Florida, fishing for a few days. We've got 24, I think, already signed up, 23 signed up. That's kicking, man. That's double the number of folks we had in at Little Talbot Island last year, same time. Are you excited there? I know that the landing crew is stoked because Bob Bramlett has set up a guide to go hunting some of the peacock bass down there.
Oh,
get
yeah.
up off the
oh,
floor,
dude,
Mark.
I just, you know, when I think about the peacocks, I just touch myself kind of situation. So, yeah, man. just a whole, species list that, we have the opportunity of catching for those of us in a winter wonderland, be able to do that in February, to kick off the season. It's going to be awesome sauce approved.
Yeah, I guarantee you it's going to be, if nothing else, just the, from our boondoggle most recent on Columbus Day weekend in, Charleston, South Carolina, the Chucktown boondoggle there. I mean, we've got some folks who know how to cook some food, and we are going to be in the time of stone crab claws, some shrimps. I mean, we're gonna have some good eating down there. We might even catch a shark and fillet it up and have some shark steaks on the grill one evening. So, what did it say? So, oh yes, Yak Sushi saying 23 yak anglers, so 40 to 50 with everybody's family. I know, I mean, I didn't post the clone on there as going, so that's an extra, my wife and clone will be coming with, so that's three of us to add into it. So, yeah, we're probably going to have a pretty good crowd there. We've got the pavilion scheduled for Saturday night and Sunday night, and that should be a bunch of fun. And from what I understand, talking to Bob Bramlett, Bonita Bob, and Haywood, and a couple of others, some of the local guys saying that it's pretty good shark fishing off of the pier or off the dock getting there. And it's a good species list that'll be available. And a lot of stuff in season. So joining us now on Buzzard Roost is the man with the voice for radio. From Apollo Beach, Greg Becker. How are you, sir?
I am well, thank you. And you?
I am too. I'm doing well, man. It's the heater's on. It's about 55 outside here in Atlanta, and I'm in a warm place.
Excellent.
Me too.
It's about it's about 78 here. It was up in the mid 80s today. I've got the heater on as well. Oh, I'm sorry, that's the fan and the air conditioner.
That's the fan and the air conditioner.
It sounds the same though. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm just one of those warm sports kind of persons. I like it to be at least about 68 is good. That's a great temperature. I love that temperature right there. So, let's see. What is this? Stan saying upgrade and sell the tarpon. Oh, yeah, Snake Girl needs boat, so it's cool. All right. Anyways, coming up, holiday season. We will have a show next weekend. I'll be down in the Panhandle for next week. We're going to go down and spend a little time around Pensacola. And maybe try to sneak over to Panama City one day, see the guys over at Sunjammers and Linda Cabot. And then, but we'll do a show next weekend. And I'm looking forward to some shrimp and fresh fish for put on the Thanksgiving plate. I'm not a traditional turkey eater, so. I like eating the scrimps and the lobsters and that kind of stuff. Anybody had a turducken? No?
Just the idea how they make that just doesn't necessarily fit with my idea of a meal, so.
Yeah.
Turducken is like it's what, you know, the gods eat when they want to feel fat and happy kind of situation. So, it's delicious.
But seriously,
chicken, duck.
Who thought it up, though?
I don't know. But
I mean, was that somebody walking through a poultry store and fell down and it came out that way by accident? I mean, is that you put your chocolate in my peanut butter kind of thing? Or did somebody actually say, hey, y'all, I know this sounds crazy, but follow me. I got this turkey.
Yeah. Stay with me now.
And you picking up what I'm putting down? All right. So, and I got this duck, and I'm going to take this duck. No, seriously. And I'm going to put it. Yeah, I'm thinking not.
Is the turkey going to be dead first?
Yeah.
That's for sure.
How would you know what you're eating unless John Madden is pointing out how many legs and stuff are on the thing?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, he's got the overlay pen on the screen. Now the duck went here, and coming around the right-hand corner was the chicken.
He's got one, two, ducks. Three, well, four, five, yeah. Six legs on there.
Yeah. All right, but we digress.
Seriously.
Yeah. folks, the... Yak Angler, I hear, has got a, I think they should be coming out with their Christmas wish list thing, so some good ideas for the holidays coming. Man, I just realized, like 2 days ago, I guess it was Monday morning, having a cup of coffee, and I looked over to see what the date was, and it's like, holy cow, man. We're only like 6 weeks away from Christmas.
Damn.
You know? I mean, it's like, daggum, man. The time is just flying by. You know? I'm just like, holy cow, man. We're Thanksgiving is next week, and then before you know it, I mean, kids are out of school for what seems like forever, and we got to do the Christmas tree and all that other stuff. So, anyways, let's see what's going on. Carter with the 41. Oh, yeah. He was going to be on the show tonight, but he said he had to work. So, nice 41-inch red that won the tournament, IFA tournament there, Justin from Chucktown. So, but anyways, what else we got? Russ is in Venice, and anyways, but so what are we fishing for right now? How's the fishing going down there? Are you guys getting the wind and rain like we are up here? Hello?
Hey?
Not everybody at once.
Yeah, not everybody at once. Hold on, let me try that again. How's the fishing down there? Are you getting the wind and rain like we are here? All right.
Last weekend was good. We've still got this 7-day front thing going on where you know, every 6 to 7 days there's these cold fronts rolling through that are kind of messing stuff up. Haywood and I picked the wrong day of last weekend to go out. We had a little bit of a battle with a northeast wind coming right down the shore we were fishing, but was able to put together a Jacksonville or an East Coast slam with trout, redfish, and a couple of flounder. Bill and I both picked up a couple of nice flounder that are in the freezer at the moment. But there wasn't a whole lot going on. It was kind of a weird morning last Saturday morning. You know, the mullet would start and stop and start and stop and start and stop, and it didn't seem to be connected to much of anything. It was right near the low tide, so we kind of expected a little bit more activity than we saw. But, hey, it is what it is. It's definitely transitioning into a wintertime fishing, if from my vast experience of half a winter so far in Florida. But from what I saw last year, it's definitely transitioned into a wintertime winter tides, you know, the lower tides, the more dramatic tides in the morning. The water is a lot more clear. The activity that you see out there is completely different from the summertime water, warmer water. I saw very few, it surprised me, I saw very few stingrays or even cow nose rays this last time out. You know, over the summer and even very late into the fall, you couldn't turn around without seeing some of them that were as big as a Buick hood out there in the water, and I saw one in 6 hours of fishing this past weekend. So the environment's definitely into the wintertime swing.
Right.
But it's still 50 degrees.
And give us a quick synopsis of the great Pelican Rescue there, man. That was
Pelican Rescue. Well, Haywood hasn't joined us, has he? Because I don't want to steal his thunder, but
all right. Well, we can give him 5 more minutes. I guess that's what you do for the professor, right? You know, give him a few more minutes before.
Well, that's it. You know, it builds tension and excitement for the balance of the show.
Okay, all right, Rob, tell us about what's your fishing doing like right now, man. Get a little further north up the shore there.
It's cold. No, I'm kidding.
All right, thanks. We'll move on.
Last weekend I didn't do very good. The wind just like beat us to death, and we were kind of in the wrong spot. It did manage about a dozen juvenile dink trout, and but that was about it. We went up Stevenson's Creek, and no dice. About a million mullet were up there. Tide was coming in. No dice, though, man. Don't know. So we'll give it hell again this weekend and see what happens.
All right. Crew, you guys still hitting up the stripers there?
Yeah. We've got pretty much the same thing guys in Florida are having with these 7-day fronts, but we get them just a little bit heavier up here. We've had a front that moved in last night. I'll give you an idea, it was 55 degrees at around 11 o'clock. By 1 o'clock, it was down in the low 40s. It was just an absolute drop in temp. And right now, I've got my house just blaring with the heat, and the high tomorrow is only supposed to be in the mid-40s. So we went from 80 degrees to 40 degrees in 2 days. So it's going to start, you know, the wave of temps are starting to change. And it's one of those things where you've got to, you know, be flexible if you want to be able to get out and really hit these fish up at the Baybridge Tunnel, the HRBT around here, you know, be able to quickly go, okay, I have a window of 3 hours before the wind shifts and the smoke pressure, you know, comes in from Pennsylvania across the water. I got to be able to slide in here and, you know, get my fishing in. And when you do, I mean, the fishing this year has been outstanding for the stripers. 30, 40 fish nights are not uncommon if you want to put in the time and hit the tides just right. Already some of the bigger fish are starting to show up out of the creeks and up from the bay. Not the big ones, you know, mega big ones yet, but, you know, we're talking, you know, mid-30s to low 40-inch range. So things are starting to really, you know, stack up in our favor. You know, water temps are still sitting around 55 degrees, you know, between 55 and 60 degrees right in that little zone. So we've got, you know, probably another month and a month left of fishing before the water temps hit 42 with the way things are going now. But fingers crossed we get a nice little warm front for a good week in mid-December, and that'll change everything. That'll push us into fishing through February. So,
well, there's a report there, right, from Apollo Beach to Tampa Bay and all the way up to Virginia Beach. So, I was just going to say, Haywood, are you there? Can you tell us about the penguins or the pelicans? You're broken and unreadable. Becker, you're going to have to tell us about the Great Pelican Rescue.
So Haywood and I were out last Saturday, and we had finished up fishing. We're basically unpacked, ready to load up the boats onto the car. Had spent some time talking to one of the Fish and Wildlife or the Florida Wildlife Commission, FWC guys, who are out there doing the surveys. You know, the bag surveys and the day surveys. So we got done talking to him, and we're just standing there BSing. And he says, "What's that?" And we look out into the water, and probably 100 yards offshore is this big brown blob. It's looking like it's swimming toward shore. It's two pelicans that are actually, one looks like it's dragging the other in. So we say, well, that's not right. Haywood was still in his waders, and I started pulling mine back on. We walked down to the shore, and by this time the pelicans had made it to shore, reached over, and if you watch the video that Haywood had posted on his website or on Facebook, and I don't know where else, but you can see he's down there with a towel trying to cover the one's eyes to calm it down a little bit so we can actually take a look at what's going on. If you watch that video, the sound of that bill snapping shut as it snaps at him and then neck stretches out towards him, it sounds loud on the video. In person, it sounds like taking two 2x4s, holding them at arm's length, and slamming them together. And I imagine it wouldn't have felt too far from that if it had gotten him. But you know, he gets this bird's eyes covered, and I come down and take a hold of the bill and the one bird and kind of get it immobilized. What had happened was that what we surmised was there was a long A, a bomber long A, which for anybody who's not familiar, it's a bigger fish lure about 6 inches long with some maybe, I don't know, size 1 or size 0 treble hooks on it. Pretty big, hefty saltwater treble hooks. One, you know, just forward of midships, and then one all the way aft. And this one pelican has the forward hook stuck all the way through both halves of its bill, holding its bill shut. The back hook is buried in what you would consider the elbow joint. All three prongs of the treble are buried in what you would consider the elbow joint of the other pelican's wing. So the pelican with the hook in its wing is basically swimming and dragging this other one, which has no choice but to follow it, all the way into shore. So we get him immobilized. We break the first hook off the off the long A, and we're able to extract it with the help of another guy named Mike, who came down and added the third set of hands that we needed and the extra Leatherman. Get the first hook off, the one that's in the bill, able to cut off the barbs, get it disengaged from the pelican's bill, and that one swam off and then flew off. All was well. The second one, my big concern was where it was in the joint. I was afraid that if we messed around with it too much, you know, there's a lot of sensitive stuff in there. And the pelican was bleeding already, but I didn't want it to either bleed out or damage the joint to the point where, you know, we'd render it flightless if it wasn't already. So we decided to do the same thing, disengage the after hook from the lure, and kept the bird immobilized until the park rangers could get down there with a big dog kennel. And then we just picked it up out of the water, carried it up to the dog kennel in the back of the pickup truck, put it in there, and they were going to wait until the folks from the seabird sanctuary came over and let the professionals deal with that, because we did not have any pelican anesthesia materials or anything else to do that kind of surgery there. So Haywood figures we earned some good karma out of that, but that was our wildlife good deed for the day.
That's awesome, man. You know, it's just really, you know, the point of making sure that, you know, you take out whatever you take in with you, you know. And I mean, certainly probably what happened was, I mean, I can't imagine both of the birds getting hooked up at one time, but somebody hooked the bird and cut their line and took, you know, didn't think about it. And then the other bird saw the bomber lure there and said, let me grab some of that.
Yeah, you know, I don't think so, Chip. I think there was no line in the water at all.
Really?
There was no line attached to the lure. It was completely, it was just the lure. It almost looked like it might have fallen out of somebody's boat or whatever and had been floating on the surface. And as birds are wont to do, they got down there and started fighting over it. The one, you know, went for it in the bill or whatever, and the other one wound up with it in his back as he tried, or in the wing, as he tried to fly away with it. And I thought the same thing at first, but like I said, there was no line on the lure. It was interesting. You know, what was even more interesting was the fact that we had a high-def video camera right there with us, and we had somebody on the beach to run it. There was a gentleman and his wife sitting there, and the first thing I said to Haywood is, hey, grab the camera. And this fellow that was sitting there with his wife didn't want to have any part of getting close to those birds, but he was more than willing to run the camera and do color commentary behind the lens. So that was that was a good thing. The best part was that I was somewhere in the area of an hour overdue from my time that I said, honey, I'm sure I'll be home by noon. So I had video evidence of an intervening circumstance that I could not possibly make up.
Very good.
Was, you know, I don't know that I'm going to be able to find two hooked up pelicans to save every time I'm late, but you know, now all I have to do if I walk in the door is just shrug and say, pelicans, honey, and it's all good. Haywood and I were talking about having pelican whisperer shirts made up for the boondoggle. You know, starting our own show, the Pelican Whisperers. But
I got you off mute, Haywood. Go ahead.
Oh, jeez.
He's in there pressing 1-1-1-1-1-1.
Have pelicans will rescue.
Yeah.
For English, press 1.
Do you have to have an accent to be a pelican rescuer?
You just have to have big gonads.
I had one that was always getting a little bold there when we'd pull into the docks around Pensacola, an old brown pelican, man. And those beaks are, those are deadly, man. They will.
They're pretty wicked.
Bill, were you at the beginning of the story where I described what the sound was like?
No, man. I just I actually had just gotten out of my class. I've been in class for about 11 straight hours.
Nice.
And I just got in my car. I got something to eat. I'm heading to the hotel room. I got about 3 hours worth of calibration certificates to type up tonight to make sure they're right. So I figured I'd I'd chime in. Hopefully, maybe some of the guys from Austin Kayak here in Houston called in tonight. But
excellent.
Yeah, I stopped in to their shop Monday, and we talked for about 2 hours, maybe. Some pretty interesting stuff about their fishery here and some of the challenges that they have to deal with and stuff. So it was a good deal. It's a good store, and I tagged them with a sticker.
I saw that, man. That's pretty cool. Who did you get to meet there? One of the brothers?
You know what, Chip? I cannot remember the two guys that I was talking to. We introduced ourselves, but for the life of me, I cannot remember who I talked to, and I apologize for that.
Yeah. There's two brothers that opened up the store, and then their marketing guy is Roland Jimenez. But they're a good bunch of guys, they always have some of the best customer service. You know, you order something and it's on your doorstep in about 2 days.
Yeah.
So that's cool, man. I like the picture you tagged him there with the zapped him with a Yak Angler and a KFR sticker. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I need some more Yak Angler stickers, and I will start tagging those. You never know where those things will turn up.
That's right, man. Yak
Sushi's
in the chat room there, so he heard your request for more stickers.
Chip, one real quick thing, and then I'll let y'all get back to what you were talking about. I came back from Miami the other day, and I came back up 41, which is the old Tamiami Trail Alligator Alley, and I specifically wanted to check the spots between Collier Boulevard, where you turn off of 75 and travel down 41 to Chokoloskee. And a lot of the spots that you could pull over and fly fish have overgrown so bad that you cannot do that anymore. So I only counted three areas where you could pull over, but they've extended the guardrails so that you have to go quite a bit of ways down to pull over and then walk back to the actual little bridge and the little cuts where you could do that. So, yeah, I don't know if, you know, and those are prime areas in the wintertime to target, you know, snook, little baby snook and bass and stuff like that, but they sure have made it a lot harder.
And unlike it is up here in the Great White North, the foliage doesn't die down there during the winter, so it's not going to make it any good, is it?
Yeah, it's all that Brazilian pepper and just sawgrass and crap like that. So it's really, some of the spots were like, you know, almost unrecognizable.
Wow.
You know, so.
All right, well, that's cool. A little bit of recon, so at least we won't be spinning our wheels trying for that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're coming down that way, you can, the better areas are more toward Collier Boulevard, and that you'll come to them. You'll see them as you pass them, and then you just have to kind of pull over and, you know, go try them. So.
Cool.
I'll let y'all get back to discussing whatever you were. I got to run.
All right, Haywood. Good to have you, man. Take care. Drive
right.
Careful.
Okay, buddy.
All right, man. And just joining us on the line is Miss D, the mermaid herself. Good evening, D.
Am I on?
And also, yeah, you're on. But before I turn the mic over to you, Chuck has joined us. Chuck, give us a quick update, buddy. How's it going?
He's doing pretty good, man. We got salmonella.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah. It sucks. But there's some other tests that they're still waiting to run on them. I just wanted to call real quick and thank everybody so much for all the love, man, the prayers and stuff that were sent our way. I mean, it's nice to know that we have so many friends, you know, and in times like these for us especially, it's real stressful on us and stuff. It's nice to know that you guys all have my back. So, but yeah, we had a real rough first part of the week, and we got him over here to Arnold Palmer Hospital in Orlando, and the fine folks here have done a pretty darn good job diagnosing the issue real quick. And you know, he's been pretty much unconsolable for the last 4 days, and today is the first day that he's actually been able to sleep for any length of time. I'm looking at him now in his little crib, and he's sleeping pretty good, so that's a blessing. But no, I just wanted to call real quick and thank everybody for keeping us in your prayers. It means a lot to me.
Well, Chuck, it's real good to hear from you, man, and it's good to know that he's finally getting some rest and everything. So hopefully it's on a stable load there, and things will start looking up for him, man. But anything you need, just give us a holler.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely, man. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much.
Anytime, anywhere, brother.
Anytime, yep. Man.
I'm going to run, but look forward to having a very energetic and exciting show on Monday.
All right, Chuck. Give him a big hug for us, man. A big old KFR hug.
Man. I will. See you guys. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Good night.
Woo.
Yeah. That's a tough one, you know. Being a parent there. So, anyways, it's good to hear that things are going well. This little buddy was feeling poorly. And salmonella, man. Holy cow. D, you ain't got the salmonella, do you?
No. I don't even remember my kids ever having that kind of a situation. I think the worst thing that ever happened to them and me was the chicken pox.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, one had it for like 3 weeks, and then the other one got it like 3 weeks later. It could have been 2 weeks, but being out of work for that whole time was killer. Yeah.
Okay.
Someone's got to take care of them, right?
You say again?
I was a single mom, so that was really tough.
Yeah, that's you know, that, and boy, you know, and he said like he's inconsolable, you know, kids just crying, man, his parent, that's just
crying,
tough.
Crying.
Yeah, he just wanted to settle down. So, anyway.
Well, I'm glad they figured it out and it wasn't something really bad. Cause
That's right.
He's
a good
gone through
thing.
Quite a bit with those two. So.
Yeah. So, well, Dee, thanks for joining us tonight. What's going on in your neck of the woods?
Not much. I mean, just trying to find places to fish in our wind. You know, one day it's good, the next day it's bad, the next day it's good, and the next day the weatherman lies. So it's really hard. It's also been kind of difficult because in our neck of the woods by Sebastian Inlet in the winters, the grass dies off. So trying to find fish is a tough situation. You almost have to go up towards Chuck's neck of the woods almost every time, which is up in the northern Indian River Lagoon and Mosquito Lagoon. And it's just getting worse and worse every year, and I think it has a lot to do with all the pollution, you know, the fertilizers coming in and whatnot, just killing the seagrass off earlier and earlier. So it just seems like it's becoming more of a situation where I have to go up more north or way down south and during the winter months when there is no, you know, sun feeding the grasses. So, but I had a great day yesterday. I went into a spot that I just thought I'd give it a chance and see what was going on. And there were just snooks stacked up like cordwood. Usually at this time in the winter, they're in there. And I should have gone in earlier in the day versus noon. But they were, because they weren't hungry at that point. They like to eat, you know, pre-dawn, dawn to sundown. And, man, I just love seeing the fish, their backs floating, seeing that wonderful sideline looking at you, and you're just madder than hell because they don't want to eat, you know. But it was nice to see that they're there, so it was all right. But there's no redfish to be found really in our area. They're more up north, and the black drum are coming in, which is great. The big ones, you know, the 30 to 40 inchers and whatnot. So I'm looking forward to being able to get out there and get those guys landed.
So that's where they went, Becker. You see that? They were on the move from where we were at, going down to Dee's place.
What, the drum?
That's a pretty long swim.
Well, they're big. They have big tails, man. They can go really fast.
Are you talking about the last drum?
Yeah, when we met in Cedar Key a couple weekends ago looking for black drum, we didn't see a single tail. Haywood said he saw one cruising by, but there were none. I mean, usually the three times that I've been there, that was the third time. The first two times, once you got the focus, you know, of what you were looking for, those tails were everywhere. I mean, there were black drum all over the place, and there wasn't a single one up there. But the water had just gone real cool. I mean, it was like, it was unexpectedly cold water. So
I'll be right out, buddy.
Yeah, so, but those are fun to catch, though, Dee.
Oh, yeah, they're awesome fighters. They're probably tougher to land than a redfish, in my opinion, because their shape is more round. They're not as streamlined, so I think they have a lot more fight to them.
But they're just so nasty.
What nasty?
They're nasty. They're all slimy and stinky. They're just nasty.
No, not over here.
Oh, you got clean ones over there?
Oh, yeah.
You scrub them and everything?
They're that good. You can pull them out of the water, and they're not smelling anything like a catfish, let's say. They smell just like a redfish or a snook out of the water for us.
Oh, no, those Cedar Key ones, man, that one, they're just nasty. They're just big old slimy, nasty fish.
I think I remember you talking about that a long time ago, but we don't have that. I've even smoked them and made fish dip out of them. They're really good.
Really?
Yeah.
Big or giant one or a small one?
Not the giant ones. See, now you've brought that back up. See, like the 30-inch and under, I would say, are not smelly at all.
Yeah, right after they lose their stripes, basically. You know, because when they're juvenile, they got those stripes on them. You with me?
No, they're not as... I don't think they're real stripey, but...
No.
They do have few. I mean, not predominant.
Yeah. Okay.
But the big, you're talking about the huge ones then?
Yeah, the big
smelly,
ugly.
Or,
yeah,
oh, the big ugly. Yeah. No, see, I've never really caught anything over.
Yeah, when you seen the picture of Haywood with the big giant fish, the black drum, when they said big ugly, they weren't talking about Haywood. They were talking about the fish.
You say that, he's gone.
He's listening. Yeah, they weren't talking about the fish. They were talking about the fish.
Yeah.
That's right. So.
Yeah, but right now, I mean, we've got the snook, the redfish, the flounder are going to be coming through, or actually have been reported to be coming through the inlet. The black drum are coming through. Did I say that? Pompano are going out. There's pompano all along the surf right now. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to get out there today, but I had some other things I needed to do. But, you know, this is the time for that transition. If you want to go out and surf fish, go for it. It's great. But on a riverside, it's a tough fish. And in a kayak, it's even worse because we can't go so far versus a boat.
Right. What's your favorite rig for a pompano? Because
on,
that's one of the jack species that I will eat. Those are tasty little critters.
I guess there's two ways I fish pompano. One is there's this thing called a silly willy jig, and it's a pink-white weighted hook with a little teaser on it that can be chartreuse or pink, and you can bounce it off the sand. I'm talking off the surf, or actually I use it on the inside too. But you have to do it where there's sand, because what you want to do is make little puffs off the sand when you bounce it, kind of mimicking like a sand flea. Mm-hmm. And they'll grab that. If you're just doing the regular surf rod, you're going to use a triangle weight and a pompano rig with shrimp, clams, and I'll dig up sand fleas and use that as well. So that's pretty much about it. Depending on, you know, surf conditions, you change up your triangle weight. So it's, I think it's pretty general for everyone around here.
Yeah. You dig your own fleas.
In the right place.
Yeah.
What?
You dig your own fleas?
Me, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's probably why I don't have nails, because I'll literally go in with my own hand and grab them out.
Just grab them.
So the sand flea rake is kind of, nice. I'll do that once in a while, but if I'm in a hurry, I'll just grab one real quick.
It's kind of bougie.
I used to hate those things, too, because it felt like spiders, you know?
Right. When I was a kid, I had one in a little jar that I kept for a long time. And then I opened the jar one day, and my mom made me get rid of it.
When those die, they smell just like...
Yeah, any kind of crustacean is just a nasty thing.
Yeah.
So you're not fishing for pomps out of the kayak. You're just shore fishing, right? Or do you catch them in the kayak?
It depends on the time of the year. Like after, let's say, January, February, March, I'll be fishing inshore where they're kind of coming back in. They go out, they'll lay their eggs, whatnot, and they'll come back in. So I've caught pretty much a good handful at that time of year, but mostly surf fishing if I really want a pompano. It's just so much nicer to throw out your rig out there and sit down in your chair and have a beer, you know?
Right.
Spend all day out there and do that. Yeah.
You could take the chair right out of your kayak and throw it out there, right?
No, because they go between in the trough area, so if your kayak's in there, you're just going to get flipped all the time.
Right.
If you go outside of the trough, you might as well go and see if you can get some triple tail kingfish or whatever that might be running out that way.
No, I was thinking you could just pull your chair out of your kayak, sit it on the beach, and have a beverage and fish.
Sure.
Right.
Sure. Yeah.
Hold on, we got a new caller here. Someone I don't recognize their number, so I'll be ready here. Area code 210, you're on Kayak Fishing Radio. Hello?
Hey, how you doing?
Who's calling from area code 210? Well, sorry we lost you there. But, and Dee, how do you like cooking your pompano?
Oh, my goodness. Mostly on the grill with lime juice and onions and whatnot and olive oil. I haven't done what a lot of people do, is where they kind of fillet it open with the bone still in it and skin on and do it that way.
Right. But yeah, the grill, little
fried pompano is great. Always, you know.
Yeah.
What's it called? Breading.
The little panko.
Breading.
Yeah. All right, and you're still online to meet with us down at the Boondoggle.
So far, so good.
All right, great. So we could have D squared down there.
Yep. Still have to get with D to find out how she's. She's hunkering down up there, down there.
Right. Cool. And Rob, you know Dee Kelly's in your area there, or she's in Fort Myers. Lou Rob. Lou,
Hello?
Rob?
Yeah, sorry, I was muted.
You was muted.
I muted myself.
Yeah, D. Kelly is in Fort Myers. She's been looking for her fishing buddies.
Yeah, I saw that. I told her, I said, hey, you know, come on up. And,
right.
You know, I haven't quite heard back from her.
Right. She took
she's got to be pretty busy because she said she was going to be in my area as well, and I think she was going to do some things in Orlando, and I haven't heard from her either.
Yeah, it's not just pleasure. She's,
I understand. I don't think she's just blowing me off or anything.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So, yeah, we're just about done for the night, so... the green guy can go away. And but anyways, so I think that's about it for tonight. But yeah, the last time I talked to Dee, you know, she posted up some pictures, and Dee Kelly, and she caught that flounder, and then she was very humble about the fact that she caught it on a fly. So it was like flounder on the fly.
That's well, pretty, you know, that's nice. Not unheard of. That's
no,
actually takes a lot of skill.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was saying. I mean, I was like, that's good. Because I had asked her, you catch on the fly. And she said, that's all I fish with is a fly rod. So,
right.
Yeah. And she had two-thirds of a slam on the fly rod there. So, pretty good. And I hope that both of you get to show up at the Boondoggle. I look forward to meeting Dee and Dee Kelly. And at the Boondoggle, and you guys that are listening in, yakangler.com /boondoggle or kayakfishingradio.com /boondoggle gives you all the information. And if you can't find a spot that we've listed right now on the Chokoloskee Island Park is where we'll be staying for the Boondoggle in February. There is some accommodations that would be available maybe in Everglades City, which is only 2 miles away from where we're at. So plenty easy for everybody to link up in the mornings when we get ready to go fishing and yakking and doing all that kind of stuff. And all kinds of good stuff planned for that weekend. So check it out. Check out yakangler.com. Check out the badbackcast.com and his blog. Check out Real Kayak Fishing. Do you still have your webpage still up, right, Dee? RealKayakFishing.com?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. And give Dee a call because she just hates to go fishing. But if you call her, then it makes her have to go out and fish. Right?
I make me go out fish. I love it so much.
Dee loves to fish. Dee is... You're one of the best fisher people I know.
Well, we're all here because we love to fish, right?
That's right. We love to kayak fish.
There you go.
Actually, I'll fish anyways. I'd be like Chuck. If there's a ditch, I'll fish it. I won't say no to going out on a boat, any kind of boat. So that's it, and we will have a show next Thanksgiving. If you're busy and you're comatose from all the tryptophan in your turkey, don't worry about it. We have a podcast. You can check out all the podcasts on iTunes or on Kayak Fishing Radio on the live broadcast section. Thanks for joining us. If you were in earlier, all of the rest of them have taken off. And for those of you still in the chat room, thanks for joining us. Dee Dee Olson, Hammerhead, Greg, I heard you say saw that you said it was snowing up there. You're ready to go to Boondoggle. Mitchell and Charlie and all y'all, thanks for joining us tonight. And we'll catch you next week. So y'all stay warm. And Dee, Rob, thanks for joining me. We'll catch you next week.
See you guys later.
Bye, everybody.
All right, tight lines, and don't forget to take those kids fishing.
Later.